Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times. These are local articles from the week of Sunday, January 17th, 2021. I'll start with the most recent articles. San Angelo COVID-19 testing, a look at local and state coronavirus data for January. Published January 21st. Tom Green County COVID-19 cases, as of January 21st, City of San Angelo. 15,105 positive cases reported. 99 new positive tests. Deaths, 256, 165 from Tom Green County and 89 from other counties. 78 currently hospitalized. 1,448 active cases. Indictment states San Angelo man broke protective order twice, threatened to ruin woman's life. By Elena Edgen, published January 21st. A San Angelo man has been indicted after two arrests on suspicion of violating a protective order a woman had against him, according to an indictment released Wednesday. On November 9, 2020, the woman informed police the man drove by her home, which violated the order. The next day, he phoned her 14 times and threatened to ruin her life, according to the indictment. Dallas Lee Lawson, 31, was arrested December 10th on suspicion of violating the protective order and possession delivery of drug paraphernalia. He returned to Tom Green County Detention Center on December 22nd on suspicion of again violating the protective order. Both times, Lawson was released by the following day on a $5,000 bond and a $50,000 bond, respectively, according to online jail records. The indictment charged Lawson with violating a protective order two or more times within 12 months. This is a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail, and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for March 2021. New body camera footage proves police didn't abandon child at San Angelo Walmart. By John Tufts, published January 21st. Body camera footage confirms a police officer remained with a three-year-old child while the boy's father was arrested for a crime he couldn't legally be charged with at a San Angelo Walmart. New footage of the arrest was obtained by the Standard Times through an open records request. In October 2020, three police officers, Michael Weber, Trey Mayberry, and Raymond Francis, attempted to arrest Jack Miller for failure to ID after they suspected him of public intoxication with a child. A patrol supervisor intervened and informed the officers they had made an error in arresting Miller, who was released. He filed a federal lawsuit against all three officers in December. San Angelo Police Chief Frank Carter issued a statement on January 6, 2021, saying the officers clearly mishandled the incident, and in a news release noted the department's Office of Professional Standards had initiated an internal investigation, which is ongoing. Video stirs up controversy about what happened to child. In the same news release, police addressed what they called false reports circulating that Miller's child was left solely in the care of a Walmart employee during the roughly 10 minutes Miller stayed in handcuffs in the back seat of a police cruiser. A San Angelo police officer remained with the child until the incident's conclusion, the release stated. Body camera footage released by police in the first video, however, did not confirm if an officer stayed with the child, leading some people on social media to question whether police were being truthful. The Standard Times filed an open records request to obtain incident reports of Miller's arrest and learned that Weber stated he was with Miller's son. The Standard Times filed a second open records request asking for Weber's police body camera footage. After reviewing that footage, the Standard Times has confirmed Weber remained near Miller's three-year-old son throughout the incident. In a Thursday email to the Standard Times, Miller stated police were not watching his son while he was being forcibly arrested inside the store. During the time they were throwing me around, they paid no attention to where my son was. They were only saying he's fine because I was asking about him. Once they took me outside, from that point on, Weber was with him, Miller stated. What new body cam footage reveals? Weber's body camera footage reveals more information about what happened to Miller's son after officers placed Miller in handcuffs. On October 5th, 2020, police were investigating reports of an alleged intoxicated driver with a child passenger who had entered Walmart. The officers were told their suspect was a white male, approximately 5'9", with brown curly hair, driving a Chevrolet Equinox. Police believed Miller was the driver. Video footage shows Miller wearing a Trump face mask at a checkout stand, speaking with two police officers when Weber steps in and demands Miller identify himself. In Texas, a person commits an offense if he intentionally refuses to give his name, residence address, or date of birth to a peace officer after, and not before, he has been lawfully arrested. Police tell man he's not very bright during arrest. Okay, bud, this is an intoxicated subject call, so this is what's probably going to happen if it hasn't been explained to you already, Weber said. Unless you identify yourself for this legal investigation, you're going to be arrested for failure to ID. Miller begins to interrupt, causing Weber to raise his voice and point his finger. Listen to me, Weber said, and then we're going to call CPS to come pick up your kid. So now you're threatening to take my kid? Miller said. What's your ID? Weber said, prompting Miller to ask if he can continue speaking. You have one thing to respond with right now, and that's to identify yourself, Weber said. In the video, Miller tries to explain once again that Texans do not have to identify themselves prior to being lawfully arrested, which prompts all three officers to arrest Miller. Shall we just arrest him? Weber asks the other officers in the video. Let's go ahead, says Francis. Police pinned Miller to a soda machine and forcibly detained him in front of his young son, who can be heard crying in the shopping basket as Miller tries to reassure him that everything will be okay. When Miller asks why he's being arrested, an officer responds by saying, "You're not very bright, are you?" Miller then cites the exact chapter of the Texas Penal Code regarding a failure to identify. It's 38.02. Miller says as he's pinned against the cooler. It's Penal Code 38.02. You can't be arrested unless you fail to identify or give false information after you've been lawfully arrested. While restrained in handcuffs, Miller asks where his son is, telling officers his son is now out of his sight. That's probably a good thing, Weber said. Miller is told he's being arrested for failure to ID, and is escorted out of the store to wait in a police vehicle. Video footage shows as Miller walked past his son, who is seated on the lap of a female Walmart employee. Daddy is going to be okay. Daddy's going to be okay. He's okay, a female Walmart employee tells Miller's son as Miller is escorted past him in handcuffs. Weber requests officials contact the child's mother. When the Walmart employee picks up Miller's son and begins to carry him back to an office, Weber follows. His body camera footage records the Walmart employee as she selects a juice beverage from a cooler for the child to drink. Throughout the video, the Walmart employee engages frequently with Miller's son, asking him questions about his favorite Marvel superheroes, games, and television programs. At one point in the video, it appears the employee spends $8 of her own money to buy a Paw Patrol app on her personal cell phone for the child. While the game downloads to her phone, they watch videos on YouTube. One employee ruffles the child's hair, and another compliments his Spider-Man sandals. As the child is engaged playing a mobile game on the cell phone and within earshot, Weber and two other employees discuss Miller's arrest. Weber says officers were concerned about the safety of the child. It sounded like he may have been under the influence of something, Weber said. Police records do not state whether Miller was given a field sobriety test. And that was our primary concern because apparently he drove there with a 3-year-old, And then, of course, he's not acting right, Weber said. Seconds later, Weber receives a message on his police radio to bring the child to the front of the store. The Walmart employee carries Miller's son to the entrance. What happened? As Weber exits the store, he finds Miller out of handcuffs and standing outside the police vehicle. Another officer tells Miller he's free to go. "I know I'm free to go," Miller says, and picks up his child. Weber approaches Officer Francis and, in a low voice, asks, "What happened? The way he was talking, I thought he was intoxicated." Francis tells Weber that a police supervisor, Sergeant Brian Holt, advised them to release Miller after informing them his arrest was a mistake. Weber asks Francis if Miller was intoxicated, to which Francis responds that he did not smell alcohol on Miller. "I thought you guys had already made that determination," Weber said, to which Francis replies they hadn't. In the video, Holt speaks to both Francis and Weber. "Until he's actually under arrest, he doesn't have to give a name, date of birth, anything," Holt said. "But he also can't, while he's detained, he can't give a false name. There's been confusion about false ID as long as I've been here." Body camera footage shows Weber walk to Miller and apologize, then provide Miller with his badge number in case Miller wants to file a report. "May I apologize?" Weber says. "I thought you were drunk as heck." In the video, Miller appears to be agitated and accuses one officer of being on a power trip. He receives another apology and the badge numbers of the officers. 2 months later, Miller filed a lawsuit in federal court. When Mr. Miller peacefully exercised his legal right to refuse this unlawful demand, officers Weber, Mayberry, and Francis threatened to have Mr. Miller's child taken away, assaulted him, and then illegally arrested him in front of his 3-year-old son for failing to submit to their authority by identifying himself, stated James P. Roberts and Scott H. Palmer, who are Miller's attorneys. "This abuse of power and authority is just one of the latest examples of police misconduct, which has stoked nationwide discussions over the past few months," the statement said. Mr. Miller filed this lawsuit not only to hold these officers accountable, but with the hope that all officers will see that there are consequences for their illegal actions. Indictment states, San Angelo woman calls man, learns he's away from home, then steals TVs. Published January 20th. A San Angelo woman has been indicted 2 months after a man left his home for dinner, then returned, realized several electronics were missing, according to an indictment issued Wednesday. On November 21, 2020, Tom Green County deputies responded to a home burglary in the 5400 block of Rusk Road. The resident said two $150 TVs and a $25 DVD player were missing, according to one arrest affidavit. The man told deputies a woman had been at his home earlier that day and said, "I need a TV like that." He later went out for dinner and she called him on an unknown number to ask if he was home. He said no, records state. When he returned home, his front door was open and the items were missing. On November 23rd, deputies responded to a nearby trailer park to a domestic disturbance where they arrested the woman on an outstanding warrant. A man at the park told deputies she stole those expletive TVs and got rid of them, records state. He gave deputies the DVD player and said the woman weighed the TVs up, which deputies stated is street slang for selling or trading the TVs for narcotics, according to the affidavit. The next day, the woman told investigators she did call the man's phone, asked where he was, and walked to his house. She stated she did take the DVD player, but it was lying in the grass outside his house with the front door wide open, records state. Gloria Enriquez, 48, also known as Gloria Valdez or Gayton, was arrested December 1st on suspicion of burglary of a habitation. She was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $25,000 bond on December 4th, according to online court records. She was indicted under the same charge in January 2021. The charge has been enhanced to a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail, and a fine not to exceed $10,000 due to a prior conviction for the same charge in 2005. City of San Angelo launches sweepstakes for water utility customers. Here's What to Know by Rosanna Frere, published January 20th. The City of San Angelo has launched a sponsored sweepstakes for water utility customers who enroll or are already enrolled in paperless billing, auto pay, or online payments, according to a news release. Five winners will receive a $100 Visa gift card after April 18, 2021, when the sweepstakes closes. The sweepstakes is funded by Invoice Cloud, a provider of e-payments serving local governments and utilities nationwide. The City of San Angelo began using Invoice Cloud in January 2020 for online payments and pay-by-text options. San Angelo residents are able to easily and safely pay their utility bills online using a computer or mobile device, said Water Utilities Director Allison Strube. We hope the sweepstakes will offer an added incentive for customers to take advantage of this online payment services that we offer. Customers can enroll in paperless billing, register to pay online, and enroll in auto pay at cosatx.us/waterbill. Customers already enrolled in any of the aforementioned services will be automatically entered. For more information, contact the Water Utilities Department at 325-657-4323. Affidavits state San Angelo sex offender charged in child sex and assaults in Taylor and Coleman counties by Elena Edgen and Laura Gutschke, San Angelo Standard-Times, published January 20th. A San Angelo registered sex offender has been indicted on several new sex charges stemming from incidents in the early 2000s through 2020, according to Taylor County court documents filed in January. On January 14, 2021, a Taylor County grand jury indicted Gregory Frank Estes, 56, on suspicion of two counts each of aggravated sexual assault of a child and indecency with a child sexual contact. These charges state the assaults occurred on December 1, 2001, January 1, 2004, and December 1, 2009, and involve a child younger than 14 years old, according to the indictments. At the time the 2004 and 2009 suspected assaults occurred, Estes was on probation for attempted sexual assault in Tom Green County, according to court documents. On Tuesday, Estes was booked into Tom Green County Detention Center on suspicion of the indicted Taylor County charges and an indecent assault in Coleman County. Documents on the Coleman County charge were not available as of 1:15 p.m. Wednesday. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $415,000 bond, according to online jail records. Prior conviction lands man on Texas registered sex offender list. On November 3, 2002, a 31-year-old woman alerted police to an attempted sexual assault. She told investigators Estes forced his hand between her legs, touched her breast and pubic area, and restrained her without consent, according to court documents. On September 17, 2002, Estes was sentenced to 10 years probation. As part of the sentence, Estes registered as a sex offender. His registration would have ended September 16, 2022, according to the Texas Public Sex Offender website. Court documents show Estes fulfilled the conditions of his community supervision and discharged him from the conditions on September 24, 2012. The offender registry listed Estes as a moderate risk. This risk level means the person poses a moderate danger to the community and may continue to engage in criminal sexual conduct, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. Man charged with indecent assault while taking woman to Abilene. Another Taylor County charge for misdemeanor indecent assault, filed Wednesday, charged Estes with being inappropriate toward a woman while they were traveling to Abilene. On June 17, 2020, Estes and a woman traveled to Abilene so she could buy a new car. She told investigators he started talking about inappropriate activities and made comments about her body, according to court documents. At one point, Estes put his hand in her clothes and started touching her breast. He touched her pubic area above her clothes and made comments about it, records state. She attempted to move away from his hand, but he continued touching and kissing her arm, she told investigators. This behavior made her very uncomfortable, according to court documents. Here's who's running for San Angelo City Council and how you can file to run too, by John Tufts. Updated January 19th. The positions for Mayor and City Council Single Member District 2, 4, and 6 are up for election, and voters will decide who will represent them on May 1st. San Angelo residents interested in joining City Council can file for candidacy until February 12, 2021. This story will be updated when more people file for positions on the council. Candidates running for San Angelo City Council on May 1st include Mayor Brenda Gunter, filed January 13th. Silvara Lawson, filed January 15th. Single Member District 2, Tom Thompson, filed January 13th. Mercedes De La Cruz, filed January 19th. Single Member District 4, Lucy Gonzalez, filed January 13th. Single Member District 6, Billy DeWitt, filed January 13th. Candidate packets are available in the City Clerk's office in Room 204 on the second floor at City Hall, 72 West College Avenue. Officials stated face masks must be worn while inside City Hall. Packets are also available online at cosatx.us/elections. City officials stated residents interested in running for City Council must make an appointment in advance to file the necessary paperwork in the City Clerk's office. Contact the City Clerk's office at 325-657-4405. San Angelo ISD employee charged in theft of more than $4,500 of school property, by Elena Edgen, published January 20th. A San Angelo ISD employee has been indicted after video surveillance showed him taking equipment from a school maintenance building, according to an indictment released Tuesday. On November 11th, 2020, police received a report from the school district about a theft. Video footage showed a man who removed items from a district maintenance building, then placed them in a vehicle and leave, records state. The man told investigators he had taken school property over the past 4 years, according to the arrest affidavit. Investigators found vast quantity of items at the man's residence in the 2300 block of Martin Road. The items include an air tank, an exercise bike, 8 chairs, a cutting torch, a welding rod, 2 electric heat guns, 2 drill presses, a metal toolbox, a manual press machine, a grease gun. Norberto Castillo Gonzalez Jr., 60, was arrested November 12th and released on a $7,500 bond December 15th, according to online jail records. An indictment filed in January charged Gonzalez with theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000, a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail, and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Gonzalez was listed as a maintenance employee in the school directory of San Angelo ISD as of noon Wednesday. The Standard Times reached out to SAISD officials for more information about Gonzalez Tuesday, but have received no comment as of noon Wednesday. A court date has been tentatively set for March 2021 in the 340th District Court, according to online judicial records. City of San Angelo resumes in-person water payments and animal services, from staff reports. Updated January 20th. Update. In-person payments have resumed at Water Customer Service, and normal operations have resumed at Animal Services, according to an email from the city. The original story indicates that those services were temporarily closed beginning Friday, January 8th, due to quarantining protocols and procedures. Motorcycle crash in San Angelo leaves man badly injured, by Elena Edgen. Published January 19th, updated January 20th. A motorcyclist who was believed to be fleeing police was badly injured after crashing into a car early Tuesday, according to a San Angelo Police Department news release. Minutes after midnight in the early morning hours of Tuesday, January 19th, police responded to a crash between a motorcycle and passenger car in the 2700 block of West Avenue N. Officers found the motorcycle driver, a 28-year-old man, with incapacitating injuries, according to the release. The motorcyclist was treated at a nearby hospital. The two people in the car were treated for non-incapacitating injuries. A preliminary investigation revealed the motorcycle had been traveling westbound on Avenue N at a high rate of speed before rear-ending a 2006 Ford Mustang. Investigators believe the motorcyclist fled from officers during an attempted traffic stop minutes earlier, according to the release. The motorcyclist was issued citations for failure to control speed and no Class M driver's license. More charges could be filed pending the investigation's outcome, the release stated. Everything you need to know about getting Girl Scout cookies in San Angelo this year, by Rosanna Frere, published January 19th. Are you prepared for the cookie hunt? Girl Scout cookies are coming to San Angelo again. Here's everything you need to know about the 2021 Girl Scouts of Central Texas cookie sales. When will cookies be on sale? For San Angelo, the sale begins Wednesday, January 20th, and will conclude February 28th. A box costs $4, while gluten-free cookies are $5 per package. Where can I find Girl Scout cookies? If you don't know a local Girl Scout, don't worry. The Girl Scouts offer a way to track down the cookie booths through your phone or computer. The Cookie Finder mobile app on Apple and Android devices can stop the sudden U-turn when spotting a booth. People can plan their shopping by downloading the app to see when and where booths will be set up. People can also visit girlscouts.org/en/cookies/cookies.html and find local booths. Booths aren't always in the same place, so using the app or website can save time. Cookie booths in San Angelo are usually set up at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. How long the girls stay at each booth depends on their inventory and what they decide as a troop. Cookie lovers can also call 800-733-0011 between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and ask for extension 709. Here's a schedule of when and where booths can be found. Saturday, January 23rd, Lowe's, 5301 Sherwood Way, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Angelo Bible Church drive-through booth, 3506 Sherwood Way, noon to 4 p.m. San Angelo Stadium drive-through booth, 1919 Knickerbocker Road, noon to 2 p.m. Texas Bank drive-through booth, 4206 College Hills Boulevard, 3:30 to 6 p.m. Sunday, January 24th. Lowe's, 5301 Sherwood Way, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. San Angelo Stadium drive-through booth, 1919 Knickerbocker Road, noon to 2 p.m. T-Mobile, 4153 Sunset Drive, 2 to 4 p.m. Friday, January 29th, Lowe's, 5301 Sherwood Way, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. T-Mobile, 4153 Sunset Drive, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. There are dates that are listed out on the weekends through the month of February, and we will keep updating those as this story updates throughout the next few weeks. San Angelo Man, 20, charged with sexual assault of teenager, by Elena Edgen, published January 19th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after police learned a 15-year-old child had been sexually assaulted, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On January 7th, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office received a report of child sexual assault. The child, 15, told investigators they were sexually assaulted by a man January 3rd, records state. The man told officers on January 13th that the incident occurred in San Angelo, according to the affidavit. Ethan Dane Elliott, 20, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of sexual assault of a child. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $15,000 bond hours later, according to online jail records. San Angelo donut shop closed after crash leaves building damaged and woman arrested, by Elena Edgen, published January 19th. A San Angelo's donut shop's storefront is in pieces after a woman drove into the building Sunday morning, according to police. About 2:53 a.m. Sunday, January 17th, police responded to a vehicle building collision in the 2200 block of Sherwood Way, according to a news release. Upon arrival, police discovered a 2006 gray Ford SUV had been traveling westbound when it left the roadway and crashed into Express Donuts and Kolaches. During the incident, the suspect became angry and threatened medical staff and a police officer with physical harm in retaliation for their duties, the release stated. The suspect threatened to cut an officer's head off, according to an arrest affidavit. There were no serious injuries, and all subjects involved were either treated at the scene or at an area hospital. No employees were in the building at the time, according to a GoFundMe for the shop. As a baker, we go into work right at this time. Thank God no one was working during this time, the GoFundMe states. Normally, we don't like to ask for help, but our donut shop is our main source of income for our family. Because of COVID-19, our insurance relapsed. The GoFundMe page, published Sunday, has a goal of $15,000 by 9:50 a.m. Tuesday. The page had raised $2,858. Police arrested Grace Sanchez, 21, Sunday on suspicion of driving while intoxicated, obstruction or retaliation, and failure to control speed. She was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center on an $11,470 bond the next day. San Angelo Regional Airport to get second airline and direct flight to Houston in 2021, by John Tufts, published January 19th. City Council members, together with City of San Angelo Development Corporation board members, on Tuesday announced residents will soon be able to fly directly to Houston, thanks to a partnership with SkyWest Airlines. On Tuesday, January 19th, the city approved a resolution to authorize the use of sales and use tax funds in an amount not to exceed $1.2 million. The resolution provides a direct flight between San Angelo Regional Airport, Mathis Field, SJT, and George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, IAH. There are many people who don't want to have to fly to Dallas to get to Houston and some other markets, said San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter. Many of our citizens were going to other markets to fly out of. We want to stop that. We need our airport to be successful. We want the planes to be full. City officials said the new flights will be available through United Airlines, operated by SkyWest Airlines Incorporated, and will hold up to 50 passengers. Services are expected to begin in late April. Each of the United Express flights will be on board the 50-passenger CRJ-200 regional jet. SkyWest will initially offer two round-trip flights from San Angelo to Houston in the early morning and late afternoon, and could add more flights depending on demand. San Angelo has been without a second airline for years, city officials noted. Residents flying out of the city are limited to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport through American Airlines. Increasing transportation options has been the crux of Mayor Gunter's strategy to improve the local economy. San Angelo's continual growth, along with our general market, business community, and tourism industry, made our airport appealing to the new airline, a news release stated. City has been on airline shortlist for years. San Angelo has been on a couple of airlines' shortlists for potential air service, but have been unable to reach the top of the list for a variety of reasons, said Guy Andrews, Director of Economic Development for COSA DC. Andrews said he, along with Gunter, City Manager Daniel Valenzuela, and Airport Manager Jeremy Valgardson, traveled to St. George, Utah to meet with SkyWest executives about bringing the airline service to San Angelo. SkyWest told the group it was interested in providing air service from San Angelo Regional Airport to Houston, but would require a similar agreement made with other Texas airports, which include Abilene. Abilene made similar deal with United in October. The city of Abilene approved a similar arrangement with United Express Airlines in August 2020, according to a story in the Abilene Reporter News. Like San Angelo, Abilene provided $1.2 million to SkyWest in initial funding through its development board. A round-trip flight from Abilene to Houston showed ticket prices start at $191, according to a quote Tuesday from the United website. What the airline deal entails. Gunter said it makes financial sense for both the city and SkyWest to bring the new United Express service to San Angelo. Airport Director Jeremy Valgardson referenced what he called a popular industry quote. A mile of road out there will get you a mile out in the community. A mile of runway will get you anywhere in the world. And that means that we can really open up our community for business development. We now have more flight options to be able to get people in to use our 1 mile of asphalt that will take you anywhere in the world, Valgardson stated. San Angelo Regional Airport has generated around $124 million in the community and provided more than 1,200 jobs, according to a 2018 economic development study by TxDOT. City officials said the contract with SkyWest will last 2 years. To offset the airline's startup costs of entering a new market, the company requested a $1 million revenue guarantee in the event flights to Houston are under capacity. An additional $200,000 was requested for marketing and advertising, as well as a waiver of rental and landing fees for the length of the contract. Both Gunter and Andrews said the money wasn't a $1 million gift to SkyWest, but rather a means to clear through any potential red tape and have funds available to tap into when necessary. The reality is that the $1 million is there if, in fact, they don't meet their passenger load, Gunter said. If San Angelo supports the new airline service to Houston and they are profitable, none of that $1 million would be tapped into. It might be that we never spend any of that money if we support this, Andrews said. The $1.2 million in funding will be provided by COSA DC. At the end of January, the airport will apply for a grant with the Small Community Air Services Development Program. If accepted, the grant funds will be used to reimburse COSA DC. Officials encourage residents to support airline. Gunter said San Angelo residents have requested the city provide a second airline for years and that it was in the citizens' hands to support them. The citizens and the business community have constantly said we need a flight to Houston, Gunter said. Let's show the airline that we support and we back them. Officials said having a second airline would bring more jobs to San Angelo, but were unable on Tuesday to give specific details. SkyWest is headquartered in St. George, Utah, and operates flights to hundreds of destinations around North America, according to a news release. They partner with the world's largest network carriers, including Delta Airlines, United Airlines, American Airlines, and Alaska Airlines, and specialize in connecting small and medium markets with the national transportation system. SkyWest was named a Best Place to Work in 2021 and a Glassdoor Employees' Choice Award, according to a January company news release. They were among the top 50 employers and the only regional airline included on the list. SkyWest was also recognized as one of Glassdoor's best places to work in 2020. A year later, lawsuit between Santa Rita residents and Kids Gymnastics and City unresolved, by John Tufts, published January 19th. More than a year after a group of Santa Rita homeowners filed a lawsuit against both the city of San Angelo and a children's gymnastics business, the case remains unresolved. The lawsuit is seeking up to $100,000 in damages and the reversal of a city resolution after Life Point Baptist Church, 810 Austin Street, was allowed to host Texas Tumbleweeds Gymnastics at its location. Court documents filed in December reveal more information about the lawsuit. At least 15 people living at River Terrace, 800 West Avenue D, say they did not receive a mailed notice from the city regarding the church's request for a zoning change, according to a motion filed by residents of the Santa Rita neighborhood. The parking lot of River Terrace is within 200 feet of Texas Tumbleweeds Gymnastics, 802 Kenwood Drive. Minutes from the city's planning commission meeting on September 16, 2019, reveal both Santa Rita residents and planning commissioners were at odds with the zoning change before the measure was introduced and adopted by City Council. Present for the meeting that day were Commissioners Joe Spano, Terry Jackson, Ryan Smith, Connolly Brooks, and Joe Self. Self left the meeting due to a conflict of interest. Records list Travis Stribling and Luke Urhick as absent. Between the four commissioners at the meeting, Smith and Brooks raised objections to the zoning change that would allow the gymnastics group at the church. Smith expressed concerns about the flow of traffic, and Brooks stated it was a quiet neighborhood and that Santa Rita does not need this development, according to court documents. Pastor Jay Clatworthy with Life Point Baptist Church supported the rezoning measure and stated most of the negative comments came from River Terrace, but that they generate lots of their own traffic, according to minutes from the meeting. During public comments, two residents in the Santa Rita area, not living at River Terrace, attended the meeting and raised concerns with the zoning change. One resident in the 700 block of Austin Street stated she was adamantly opposed to the request and expressed concerns about parking, traffic, and home values. A resident living in the 800 block of West Avenue D expressed concerns the church had not reached out to residents, that no traffic study had been done, that the streets were not particularly wide, and raised questions about outdoor uses, pickup and drop-off areas, and hours of operation. He asked if the Planning Commission could table the measure for the time being, according to court documents. Spano, the vice chair, stated he would have liked a representative from the gym business to be in attendance to answer questions and closed public comments, records state. Brooks recommended the motion be denied, which was seconded by Smith, but failed after both Spano and Jackson voted against their denial 2-2, records state. Jackson made a motion to the table to table the discussion for another time, which failed for lack of a second, records state. John James, Planning and Development Services Director, stated that because there was no further motion, the measure would be forwarded to City Council and listed as no recommendation due to the 2-2 vote that failed, records state. City Council later approved the zoning change. Details of the lawsuit. In a petition filed in October 2019, the lawsuit states the City of San Angelo attempted to amend its zoning ordinance by simply passing a resolution and that Texas law requires a city to amend an ordinance only by passing another ordinance. The lawsuit argues, in addition to the procedural failure, the attempted zoning change amounted to illegal spot zoning and would have been invalid even if the proper procedures had been followed. The city mailed out 24 notices to nearby homeowners and received 8 responses, 7 of which were against the zoning change. Of the 17 different zoning categories for property based upon its use, retail sales and services is not allowed under a special use permit, and city council did not have the authority to allow a retail business to operate inside Life Point Baptist Church's gymnasium, according to the petition. 3 Santa Rita residents have requested a judge to declare the resolution passed by city council void and are seeking reimbursement for attorney's fees and court costs. City fires back against lawsuit. The city later filed its response to the petition denying all allegations in the lawsuit. In part of the 105-page response, the city claimed it could make the contested zoning change by virtue of being a home rule city. The city has full power of local self-government and may do anything that is not specifically prohibited by state law, officials stated in court documents. The city also claimed the lawsuit was filed too late for the court to consider seriously. In its response, the city stated those who disagree with changes to the zoning ordinance can appeal to the District Court of Tom Green County, but the petition must be made within 30 days after it's voted on by city council. A resolution allowing the church to host the gymnastics group was granted by city council on September 17th, and the lawsuit against the city was filed October 30th, 43 days later. The Santa Rita residents did not request an extension of time for good cause prior to the expiration of the time provided under the ordinance for appeal, court documents state. The city also argued the residents in the lawsuit had no legal standing to sue the city because they suffered no injuries as a result of the zoning change. A plaintiff must show that it has suffered an injury, in fact, which is an invasion of a legally protected interest, not conjectural or hypothetical, court documents state. By what authority do the residents claim the right to ultimately obtain the court's jurisdiction in order to preempt the act of local elected governing officials and with public input at 2 public hearings? The city concluded its response by asking the court to dismiss the lawsuit. The suit remains pending. City venues in San Angelo to receive further upgrades. By Sydney Walker, City of San Angelo, published January 17th. Every year, our civic events staff meets to discuss what improvements are needed at our venues. This process involves staff, city management, our Civic Events Advisory Board, and City Council. We have been producing a facility improvements plan for our venues and bringing it forth to City Council for their approval. The funds used for these projects come from our Civic Events Fund balance. Since 2015, we have purchased new staging for the Convention Center and Coliseum. We have switched to LED lighting at the Coliseum and upgraded our VIP room and dressing room areas. The River Stage has received new chairs and electrical maintenance. El Paseo has LED lighting, parking lot maintenance, and netting under each pavilion. The Convention Center has received sewer maintenance, a new marquee, and other needs. These are just a few of the improvements that were completed. In fiscal year 2020, Civic Events upgraded and performed maintenance work to the restrooms, concession stand, ticket box office, and drainage areas at the Bill Ayler Sr. Memorial River Stage. We also completed the seal coating project at the Farmers Market and El Paseo and upgraded to LED lighting at the Convention Center. On December 15, 2020, City Council approved the fiscal year 2021 facility improvement plan for civic events. For this year, we are looking to upgrade our internet and Wi-Fi services at the River Stage, Convention Center, and the Coliseum. In addition, we were approved to purchase point-of-sale stations for the transactions at these venues. Although these upgrades are long overdue, I am glad that we will be able to accept most forms of payment. We are also working to get maintenance done at the Coliseum on our fire suppression system. I am hopeful that we can have these improvements started in early 2021 and complete all of the tasks by the end of the year. If you have any questions about any needs or concerns, I can be reached at Sydney, S-I-D-N-E-Y, dot Walker, at C-O-S-A-T-X, dot U-S. New business in San Angelo opens with Spa and Apothecary, by Rosanna Frere, published January 16th. A new business has opened in San Angelo by two local women offering spa and apothecary services. Tilly and Mint Spa and Apothecary, 1501 South Bryant Boulevard, was opened January 5th by Courtney McPherson and Dion Hipsher. McPherson does facials and waxing, while Hipsher does massages. Whitney Karcher does spray tans and teeth whitening, and Cassney Zitters is the business's hairdresser. The duo plans to add more services, and the apothecary will open in the next couple of months with natural bath, body, and beauty products. McPherson and Duane Hipsher both worked at Reflections Day Spa for over 10 years before opening their own business and have been friends since the 8th grade. The two answered some questions about the business. How did you get started in this business? In 2019, we took a leap of faith and, in wanting to move up in our careers, took the position as lead massage therapist and lead esthetician at the JL Bar Ranch Resort and Spa. We worked to build up the spa, and in doing so, we learned more about what our clients want, said McPherson. We began making bath soaks and scrubs, and the clients loved it. When COVID hit and the salons and spas were shut down, we decided we wanted to continue what we started and make natural body and beauty products that are not filled with all the synthetics and fillers of the big name brands. We began taking herbalism courses, and the idea of Tilly and Mint Spa and Apothecary came to life, said Hipsher. Who was your biggest supporter when you started? Of course, that would have to be our husbands, Kyle and Danny, and families. Our husbands have put their blood, sweat, and tears into making our dream come true, said McPherson. Our parents and friends have all helped in their own special ways, and our children endured, pretty much, living at the spa while we remodeled. It has been so special to have so many friends work so hard to help us prosper. Thank you to all of them for all the hard work, support, and outpouring of love and faith in two friends that have a passion for making others feel good, said Hipsher. What should make your business stand out? The apothecary and the luxury of a spa with a little bit of every treatment to offer. We have room for a couple of massage therapists, a couple of estheticians, hairdressers, nail techs, spray tans, teeth whitening, and other specialty treatments like a makeup artist, brow and lash specialist, etc., said McPherson. We are still building up the inventory in the apothecary, but it is going to be so fun. You can make your own scent of lotion, bath salts, facial products, beard oil, laundry soap, and more. We will have all the bases, and we will help you add essential oils, salts, powders, goat milk, coconut oil, etc., to hand make a specialty product just for you, said Hipsher. We picked San Angelo as a business location because it's our hometown and we care about our community. Nothing makes you feel like you are on the right path than leaving and coming back to work in the community that you live in, and having clients come out of the woodwork to be the first on your schedule because they are glad to have you back. We have definitely felt the love, said McPherson. We have been very excited to have the only place that you can get pampered and go home with a specialty product you made yourself. We are wanting to have a place to enjoy a special time with your bridal party, for a relaxing birthday, quality time with your family, even for men to feel welcome and relaxed. We feel that our business will be very beneficial for our community and neighboring towns, said Hipscher. What motivates you to go to work every morning? Our families, our clients, and our coworkers. We get to have our cake and eat it too. We love giving facials and massages, and then we get the joy of our clients. We have amazing coworkers that are like family, and the cake topper is seeing how proud our families and children are of us. We are teaching our children that you can achieve your dreams, and mommies can run and own a business too, said McPherson. Our kids are telling all their friends and teachers how their mom is opening her own business. It is so encouraging and melts our hearts, not only for our families and husbands to be proud of us, but it's unreal how awesome it feels to have our children so proud and being inspired by what their moms are achieving, said Hipscher. For more information, call 325-617-4059 or email Tilly and Mint, TillyAndMint at gmail.com. And finally, here's our weekly gardening column by Allison Watkins. Here are some tips for shrub selection and pruning. Published January 21st. I am often asked, when is the best time to prune shrubs? My first tip is to choose shrubs that don't need frequent pruning. Select dwarf shrubs for around the home that grow to about 3 to 4 feet tall and let them stay in their natural form. It saves a lot of time and effort. Some recommended selections for the Concho Valley include dwarf Yaupon holly, dwarf Indian hawthorn, and dwarf Nandina. Over time, though, even dwarf shrubs can get overgrown. Whether you prefer a very formal look and enjoy shaping shrubs into hedges or spheres, or have old overgrown shrubs that need to be rejuvenated, late winter is a good time of year to prune many types of shrubs, just not those that bloom in the early spring. The dormant season is ideal for pruning because it is right before new spring growth. Pruning at the wrong time of year usually won't kill or even damage a shrub, but if done repeatedly every year, it can weaken the plant. Early spring flowering trees and shrubs like Indian hawthorn and redbud should not be pruned until they finish flowering, or many of the flowers will be lost. For older shrubs that are overgrown and need to be rejuvenated, a pruning process called gradual renewal might be helpful. Remove up to one-third of the oldest, tallest branches. Cut them back almost to the ground, right now, before new growth starts. This will stimulate fresh new growth, and the process can be repeated each year until the shrub is back into the desired condition. One final pruning tip. Don't top crepe myrtles. Topping is an unnecessary and improper pruning practice that is not good for any kind of tree or shrub and is done to crepe myrtles too often. Topping does not increase or improve flower production. In fact, it can delay or decrease flowering through stress and damage it causes to the plant. The Concho Valley Master Gardeners are holding a spring training class. The course is a great opportunity to learn all about landscaping and gardening in West Texas and the Concho Valley. A wide range of topics will be covered, including soil management, vegetable gardening, fruit trees, lawn care, tree care, herbs, etc. The 17-week course will be held on Tuesdays from February 2nd to May 25th. For more info and to register, visit https://txmg.org/Concho Valley or call the extension office at 325-659-6528. The deadline to register is January 27th. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at A.E. Watkins, at ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.